This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm hardly aware that we spent 20 minutes talking about baby communists.
Yeah.
So not a bad thing.
That's the name of this game where your dog's in post World War II Berlin. That's fucking rough.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's like, it smells sounds like good. Raspberry, but it's got no taste.
I think communist babies have really just warmed me up.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to Drunk Game Design. My name is Jack from Half Monster Games.
Excellent. I'm James from the Brisbane Treasure Hunt Society.
Nice.
Mm. I'm Cam from Cliffhanger Creative.
I'm Nick from Repeatery.
I'm Jack McNamee from myself.
From the
excellent.
From the Jack Collective.
From the McNamee Jack Max. Yes.
Jack Mac.
McNamee.
They call me Jack Mac.
That's right.
And I feel like, Nick, you should repeat your title as well when you
say
it.
You should repeatery it.
Yeah. Just for all those game designers.
It's
like
a reusable
name.
That also have sustainable businesses.
Let's play at home. I am drunk out of my reusable pocket cup.
Wow.
See here. This cup. And it collapses down if it's neatly in your pocket.
Wonderful.
It's just
incredible.
Him pouring liquid into his pockets.
And this is Drunk Game Design, which I think I already said, where we get a bit tipsy and come up with an idea for a game. And I will spend the next 3 weeks making that game. Then we'll release it online for anyone to print and play and try. And we will play it at the start of the next episode and probably deeply regret our choices.
Mm.
And then the cycle begins again. And we continue designing games and seeing how that goes. And I'm feeling a bit dizzy, so
Excellent. Yeah,
it's good.
Do we then, in the first section of this podcast, come up with a couple of ideas, and as we progress, then vote on the
best idea.
The best idea.
I
and
agree.
Then turn it into
I feel
an
like
actual
mechanic. That's a cool idea because we could just keep rattling off ideas until
I think
we're all
so.
Like, yes.
Hi there, listeners. Sober Nick here. In this month's Drunk Game Design, you'll hear us drinking and chatting, and then seeing what ideas seed from that banter. Then later in the podcast, those ideas will gradually evolve into a board game, or at least a concept. Seems straightforward enough? Okay, good. Back into the fray. Over to you, Drunk Jack.
Here's the theme I wanted to talk about that I hadn't in mind.
Yeah.
It's everyone loves Battle Royales right now.
Yeah.
But where's the Battle Royale board game?
Mm.
Okay, so we need that and then some ridiculous other theme that works.
That could be a fun idea, I think. The problem is that that's an elimination board game, which is not in vogue.
Ghosts, my friend.
Mm.
Witches.
Witches. What about this? When you die, you like go into the other realm where you can then fight other dead people to become alive again.
Ooh, that's interesting. You just get a bunch of different goals and stuff when you die.
Yes.
That makes sense to me. Have you heard of the game Hey, That's My Fish? You play as penguins on a rapidly melting ice floe. And wherever you step, wherever you move, the ice falls away from under you. So you're basically competing against other penguins in a rapidly shrinking, melting ice game. So it's really about climate change at the end of the day. But it's like, you're competing for fish. So like...
Isn't everything.
And if you fall into the water, you die and the other player wins. Mm. So it's it's essentially a similar to a battle royale game in the way we're talking.
So I'm just picturing this, and instead of the ice melting, it's bombs. Mm. And instead of sinking, it's... being captured by the Americans.
Yeah.
Instead of fish, it's
fresh divers.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say something that communists want, like don't know.
Same t-shirt for everyone.
I find it quite entertaining that it's just all of us sat around a baby chair.
Yeah. Okay.
Just imagine the splash out on the front, like your little baby Stalin.
Well, that's the thing. Like, young Stalin, everyone agrees, was quite hot.
That's true.
Baby Stalin, super adorable.
Mm. Probably.
That's right.
It's probably just a baby.
And the box cover, baby Stalin.
Have a mustache, so it's going to be some cute little, like, food stain or something.
Aww. Pretzel.
It's just never been a better time to tap into the communist baby market.
Can people veering on the left have a lot of recreational income, so we got to tap
into there you go. Podcast over.
Can you imagine?
Battle Royale. I was thinking about this one. So, Battle Royale.
Also not jumping on a bandwagon.
Yeah.
Battle Royale games, there's lots of elements to it. I think the biggest element is actually just the fact that you'd start out in a large space where there's not necessarily a lot of interaction and it's fairly low-key, and then the intensity goes up and up and up and up as the area of the game shrinks.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to imagine that element being applied to a lot of different types of games. Like, you could have an area control game where it just shrinks and shrinks, like chess where, like, just constantly the chessboard shrinks. You could have a worker placement where you just get less and less spaces as it goes on.
Yeah.
And right. Over
so you know what I was thinking is like the Nazi babies idea. I thought of Nazis.
I think we should think Battle Royale.
What if there's like your two kind of forces in a city or something?
Yeah.
Mm. And it could be like a narrative experience, or whatever. But the bombing and stuff is like getting closer and closer.
We could also just do like red flags, which is like Fog of Love, except in terrible relationships.
All right. Hold on.
Terrible communist relationships.
So, you're getting shelled in this rapidly shrinking area, and you have to find your soulmate.
Aww.
That sounds really cute.
We could call it Love in Berlin.
Wow, that sounds terrible. Love on the battlefield.
But you have a set number of red flags at the beginning while everything's shrinking.
Mm.
And you have to find someone. Like, you have to have below a set number of red flags to find your soulmate.
Mm.
Can I add potential
competitive game?
Change to this way? Instead of babies, it's puppies.
What the
and it's
fuck?
Puppies. Dogs that are like,
hold on a
second.
Are you saying these puppies are trying to find their soulmate in post World War II Berlin?
Yes.
Can
you imagine how many stray dogs there would have been left over there?
Are these puppies going to be killed in post World War II
if they
Berlin?
Don't find their soulmate? Yes.
Do you think? Okay, if there was an actual apocalypse happening, would users of, like, Twitter go up or down?
Up.
You think it would be up?
Up.
Well, first one and then extremely the other.
Yeah. It'd be a big and then a big.
To revisit the previous idea of post-World War II Berlin puppies. If there's a finite amount of chow,
post-World War II... Puppies, Battle Royale. We've got all the SEO keywords, motherfucker.
That's right. We're hitting the parent market and the pet owner market.
Oh,
so there's chow.
So there's only certain breeds that can be your soulmate. Obviously.
Yes.
Breeds.
Oh, wow.
So, what the... Wait, hold on.
So you're, excuse me. You're one of the Nazi puppies?
Pugs and Great Danes
will never reproduce.
I didn't hear what you said, so I just said yes to a group of you. That was like, hold the fuck, the phone.
As far as game mechanics go, though, it's a nice restriction.
I don't even believe in soulmates, so I'm not sure about this entire concept.
Oh, no one really does, but they want to pretend, so that's what we're
doing. I'm polyamorous, so it'd be silly if there's only one puppy in Berlin that is for me.
You can have multiple soulmates.
There we go.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
it's about finding...
Where's that bell at, by the way?
Let's read
it. Yeah,
let
the bell.
Mr. Controversy.
All right, yeah.
There it is.
Let's redefine it. It's about finding happiness in post World War II Berlin.
You're a caboodle. Maybe you can breathe with anything.
Okay, what about this? Here's the name. Puppies of the Apocalypse.
Oh my god.
Oh. World War II edition.
Oh yeah, there's different types of apocalypses that creates expansion.
It's a franchise.
What method do you use to find your puppy soulmate?
No, here we go. We'll get into that. Okay,
scent.
Here we go, guys. Alright.
We got a hexagon.
Hex Berlin. Hex Berlin.
Mm. Okay, it's a hex map.
There's, you're all puppies. Just... You start in something on the edge, and you have to find your puppy love.
Is there one other player who is your puppy love, but you don't know which of the other players it is?
I don't know. What do you think?
It could be like a token like that.
Yeah, that I desert. Think that's nice. Yeah. You have to sniff the butt to check if they're your song.
Yeah. Which you have to get special permission for.
That's right. It's only like, one puppy couple can survive.
I feel like there's
that's
like,
fucking brutal, man.
Let's say couple.
Oh, hey, couple. Let's kill puppies in the game.
Yeah, nice. Let's kill babies instead. That's
fun idea.
Why are all babies? I'm sensing a real trend towards puppies and or babies dying in these game spaghetti, which I'm not totally sure about, but I mean,
any game we create is going to involve death.
That's right.
War oh, it will involve death. I'm fine.
And it's live, so we can't take it back.
That's the name. War is rough.
That's fucking
R-U-F-F.
The little...
That's the subtitle.
We have a lot of adorable puppy soldiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's like the little communist puppies on one side and the little like capitalist puppies on the other.
Aww.
Why are all these communists?
It's like a Romeo and Juliet story of puppies. Yeah.
Are your special abilities decided by your political alignment? So you have like libertarian, you have libertarian puppies, and you have
yeah, with a cross section of breed as well.
Oh my god!
So like the Dachshunds can move at double speed.
Race
and class.
It's your political alignment and breed. That's your abilities.
That's
okay.
Right. Labradors are good at digging in the ground.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, Labradors can go like straight, and then there's like
they can see in the dark, maybe because they're seeing eye dogs or something.
Yeah. They can move through dark tiles.
How else can a group like a group of five white guys make a game about race without it being problematic?
Yeah.
Puppies.
Reskin it with animals that we castrate.
So,
I think this game. If we're trying not to be problematic, I think a game about puppies in post World War II Berlin is not the way to do it.
And he's talking about skinning them too.
Oh my god!
Re-skinning them.
No, I was
terrifying.
Talking about castrating them
and reskinning.
That is
you
very
said
different.
Re-skinning
puppies. Oh, all ridiculous aside, I think
Touché.
The idea of like true loves or whatever, trying to find each other.
In a battle royale.
In a post-apocalypse battle royale style thing.
No, I think that's great. I think that's
really cool.
Like, the idea of brutally murdering someone else's love.
I think it shows the futility of war.
No, but I think...
It's a commentary on war.
If we take the other stuff out of it, if we think about this core idea, that it's this place where the map is constantly shrinking and there's an apocalypse or similar situation, you only have moments to live... And you're trying to... Maybe you're trying to find a soulmate or you're trying to find the thing that brings you happiness in those last moments. Mm. That's a pretty weird, powerful game. I could be interested in that a lot.
I think the Berlin thing is a good idea.
Mm. I wouldn't go for puppies. I would go for human beings. But
maybe
in...
during the game, the apocalypse is actually the wall is going up. So the thing doesn't shrink.
Oh.
But the...
You could be separated forever from your...
Do I need to be on the east or on the west?
Exactly.
Where is my love?
And you have to interact with the other players to find out...
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
The wall to be on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And you have a very small amount of information you can give to other players...
So you need
to be like, let's meet up in this place, but you need to do that without alerting the authorities.
Mm.
So you need to give subtle hints, and one player might be the authorities, and they will try to detect those subtle hints.
And they're trying to just find their love in a normal way, because they're working for them.
Oh yeah, maybe you're all in disguise as well, so you know.
Could it be the Last Days of Love?
No, that sounds that's a great name. Last Days of Love. Or, Apocalypse... No, that's a great name.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Love.
Apocalypse Meow.
Yeah, reskin it as cats. So
new idea.
Apocalypse
Meow.
Okay.
Scrap everything.
We can play with the race thing again and play with mugenics.
Oh, no.
I think a system where... For some reason, the whole map is splitting apart, whether it's bombs or walls going up, anything like that. The world is crumbling.
Yep.
You need to find the one other player or similar who is your person before before it all happens.
That's right. And I think one player should be trying to keep everyone in the right zone where they
belong.
Yeah.
One player is the authority
secretly,
who is like separating everyone. And so the other players need to be doing a system. There's actually a spy game that does this, which is really cool, which is all about just trying to secretly wink at other people without other people noticing that you've winked too much at a specific person.
I like a social mechanic in there.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's
yeah,
a social focus mechanic where you need to try to hint to other players to meet you, and you need to figure out which of these other players is actually your person.
I really like the idea of educating people through this game mechanic about different forms of love. So you have like just like you have a player that is asexual but is and possibly aromantic.
Yeah,
you have
looking for like platonic.
Yeah,
yeah.
They just want they want the people that they need around them.
This is interesting.
And
yeah,
you have a
different objectives
that's
based on love.
Loves. You have a player that is unsure. You have a player that is, and so that
it's like love inclusive, family love.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so that when the you know that there's this finite, the fall of love. And the last days of love, and that.
Yeah.
But you don't know when it's going to happen, and you're trying to arrange everything.
That's very true. That could be very great. And you could have a. I mean, yeah, you could add poly in there as a different system, is that you have multiple partners which all need to go in the same place, which would be great, I think.
And it's within the scope of war.
Yeah, you're trying to do that,
You want to, you want to be careful how you. Well, in fact, of intentionally not assigning those any particular way. But otherwise, I love it.
It's like the thing where you flip a something at the end or spin something at the end of every turn where it tells you that there's a bombing or that there's, that everything's been fine. So you're out in the dark searching for your love or trying to cross the beginnings of the wall, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then you get caught by the wall police or the
oh, it's like a random chance element.
Yeah. So
yeah,
you could get shelled if you're out.
I would have it be a card element where there are certain cards saying where it's gonna happen, so you can spend time or resources or something to find out what's gonna happen, but only certain people do that, so they can lie about it. You know, you have extra stuff in there.
Yeah.
The deck check mechanic.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Because like anyone searching for true love on the east side is captured or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those listening at home, Jack has drawn a diagram on a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is highly...
Eliminate. Wow.
Jack, please explain that again.
Okay, so there's like a central really skinny board.
Yeah.
And then you build the city out from that using cards.
And that's sort
of like...
Is that right?
Yeah, that'll be where the wall will be.
Yeah.
And then when you're exploring the city, like some kind of random chance element starts... blocking off the central access progressively.
Right.
So when you're right near the end of the game, you might have to use some really tricky tactics to get through that middle section.
Because
you know the authority player is going to be there, you know that everyone else is going to be there.
It's going to be like high alert.
Unless you can tunnel or you've got a secret passage through or you can
You have
maybe
resources
two cards and
that are like
abilities
like
things that let you get through the walls
wait,
and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we can be in Puppy Land.
Or is that?
I feel like
I like it better being humans.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I think that just adds a bit of flair that we can play with right now.
Yeah, right.
But I think in reality, I think it would work better not being puppies or babies because it.
Oh, it might be too much.
It's a bit more of a serious game.
Seriously,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a,
serious game, a commentary on an inclusive love game.
I like it.
Fair
it's
enough.
Cute.
Yeah.
I don't want
to puppy.
No, I like it. I like it that
we'll have a puppy card in there. So thank you.
I like that. Oh, of course, one person is just trying to find their dog.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Oh.
Or their cat.
Oh, one player could be a dog.
Love.
You know what'd be great is if you have a set stock amount of characters. So you've got like one half of the whatever and one half of the whatever. It's a romantic love or friendship or like dog or baby or whatever. But then the so half the players get one from there and the other half the players get one from here. So you might end up spending the whole game searching for something and you don't find it. Because no player has it. You know what I mean?
Doesn't exist.
Yeah. So you might be the dog owner who's searching for the dog the whole time. You just it's gone.
Yeah.
That's fucking rough.
Is that
what?
Rough.
What? Oh my god!
War is rough. Everyone's dog owners looking for their dogs.
That's the name of this game where your dog's in post World War II Berlin. That's fucking rough.
I love it.
That's right. We lure them in with the light-hearted like gesture, and then they play the game and realize it's actually very emotionally involving.
Look, I feel like you're called that's fucking rough. Would sort of mass appeal.
Yeah,
looking for your love, and you know,
everything's just meaningless.
What a fun game!
I
don't know.
It's a game on a nihilist philosophy.
But the alcohol is
don't
showing up
the mic.
If you have different methods
of life satisfaction and your aim is to be as satisfied as possible,
yeah.
by the time
yeah.
the shit hits the fan, like
yeah.
you found your puppy, you found your loves, or you found your family. You've got the best life possible before the wall goes up.
Mm.
Then you win.
I think
that's
a good
kind
idea.
Of like...
I think that's a good idea. Yeah,
I agree. Hey,
it's
that
a perfect
actually...
situation to then go back home and start a business.
Is it called white privilege?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing you've mentioned is it raises an interesting idea that you have different relationships with different players. So one person is the person you're in love with, other people are your family, and that raises a situation where you may have to decide between them because they're in two different blocks, and you're like, do I go with this person or this person? That could be really interesting, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe what we can do is if we go sort of with like a social deception mechanic of having just random bunch of civilians, but some of them are pairs, you might get into an interesting scenario where you have something that's not exactly your pair, but you still want to get them to where they need to go, which will kind of simulate that thing. So, like, you know, you're a wife looking for a husband, and
you have
like
people...
a pet owner, I'm like, I have a husband token, but I don't. That's
I imagine,
me, but
the way I'm thinking
of it... Do any
of
you
it,
guys know?
Yeah,
right.
The way I'm
yeah,
thinking of it...
Husband,
yeah.
yeah,
the way I'm thinking of it is that there would be one player who is the authority or whatever separating everyone. Everyone else would be trying to get with their partners or family or whatever.
Yeah.
And they may be in conflict or cooperation based on that. Like, they want to help other people as much as possible, but maybe they're like... don't want this to happen so that they can actually be with their love.
Like,
you
only get
one
move per turn. You have to choose, well, do I help you or myself?
Yeah.
What makes you want to personalize that instead of depersonalize it? Like, instead of
what
a mechanic that happens from the game?
I want to personalize it. I'd be interested in personalizing it because it means a lot of these social deception mechanics can be more social. It can be a matter of trying to hint at someone else across the room or wink at them or say something that the authority player doesn't get. Rather than a mechanical thing.
Yeah.
So that's what interests me in that.
Because I find it interesting, like, it forms a warm and fuzzy or somber game if it's you against the game.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if it's you against someone, then it'll marginalize someone possibly.
True.
Yeah.
Unless that person is their own complex.
True.
Life. Here's what I thought about that, is that you could have cards that show you're, you know, whether you're the authority or not the authority.
So
but
some people could
but
be
the
a bit
authority traitor-y. Still has a relationship pairing they're trying to make.
Before the war
so,
closes, like the authority has no say.
That's right.
The
authority has to stop everyone else, but they also want to do their own thing. So you're in this interesting scenario
yeah,
where you
that's
do have to make deals.
Right. Yeah. Then
but
you
wouldn't want to be
them.
Completely open about who you are because. People would end up.
You might okay. That's
just
interesting.
Avoiding
if the authority is a bit like the authority is like the guy, the main character from Papers, Please, in that they are forced to do these things, and if you don't do them, you'll face increasing levels of sanctions. But you have leeway, and you can say, "Actually, I do want you two to be together. I'll cop the rat for that. That'll mean I don't get to do this thing, but that's okay. You guys can do it, and then in exchange, you'll give me this deal."
Yeah, I think that's
pretty
interesting. I'll take that puppy card off you or something.
Yeah.
You have like the gay
polyamorous
authority
then...
who's trying to.
Oh my god!
That goes against the whole authority thing that we're not allowed to have gay relationships.
Yeah.
Like, oh no! Well, both of you guys have to come over to this side of the wall because. Reasons.
Yeah.
That actually sounds really good because it just creates this thing where the authority isn't this faceless whatever. It's a person, and the players may hate or may empathize with that player based on how they react, and they're put in this very tough situation.
Yeah.
You know,
so you'd have everyone is searching for the, you know, person or whatever.
Or their dog or their family.
So here's what I'm imagining so far. So the setup is you build a hex version of whatever.
Yeah.
Or sorry, no, a card version of whatever. And there's a strip in the middle that's going to progressively get smaller and smaller. Then you have like allegiance cards or something given out to all players that are secret. One of them is the authority. Everyone else maybe is just, you know, resistance or whatever. Or just a normal person. Then you have, on the board, randomized little people tokens, some of which are random, some of which are matches, and some of which are authority figures in disguise. Every turn, with the amount of players you have, you can pick one token up and look at it and see what it is, and put it down. Then you can move one other token, or that token, to closer or further away from the wall, or whatever you want.
So the token you move could be yourself or another player's token, is that correct?
Yes, and maybe at the start, everyone closes their eyes and the authority grabs a, like an authority figure token, like a spy token.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just go around and then the other players all grab something, like one out of a pair or something. And so then you spend the rest of the game, you'd end up all turning over these tokens and finding out where people are and all this kind of stuff. And then, so you're just trying to figure out, A, who is an authority figure or whatever. But the authority is also trying to get someone across the line or get two people on the same tile. That's the whole goal of the game, is get, like, the wife and the husband or the husband and the husband or whatever on the same tile.
That's
by the end of the game, that's how you win. And so, but the authority figure is trying to only get theirs, but maybe every other pairing that ends up happening, maybe when the pairs happen, it goes like ding and they vanish or something because then they flee the city. You as the authority get like some kind of penalty or something.
Yeah.
See,
that sounds...
Or the wall goes up more or something.
That sounds great. I think it would be a system where the authority is forced to put one wall down each turn or something. And they can negotiate as to where that goes and they...
Yeah. What if the wall goes up every turn? So it's always marching inwards. But then, what about this? What if... Whenever a pairing is made, the authority has to wipe out three other things on the board or something.
Or they take some personal penalty or something happens to them or something.
Yeah.
Or a pairing is made and the wall goes up even faster, maybe.
The way
Papers, Please does it, which is quite good, is that you have a certain income which you need in order to support your family, which is mostly held off screen. But, you know, if something happens, you get docked money and then you're... family suffers for that. So I think that's something that you could have for the authority player, is that if something happens that where they don't do their job or something like that, they need to go down one level of income and they know that their family will suffer for that. That could be something interesting.
Maybe they could get closer and closer to being like eliminated from the game.
Yeah, that's right. And if it drops to zero, they're just eliminated and they lose entirely. So yeah.
Does that make sense?
The only thing that I hesitate with is that if you eliminate people from the game when they find their pairs, it's more about finding a pair as quickly as possible rather than waiting for that inevitable thing to happen and being in the right place at the
right time.
Yeah,
so
right.
So, like, if the wall goes up, if the wall's nearly there and you found what you love and everything's fucking great, that's pretty obvious, and that allows time for things to go wrong.
Yeah.
And you're
which is great.
Right.
So you've got to be
them near each other, but not right there.
The wall is
made no matter what happens in the game.
Yes,
like,
I think so.
The wall is getting made. And
that'd
you
be
have
a good
to
way
be...
to have a ticking clock.
And you have to choose where you're going to be with. Yeah.
Mm.
And I think that's great. And I think it should be a moment where when the final section of wall goes down, that's the end of the game. And you look
like
at who is with who. And if you're with the people you care about, then you win the game. And any amount of people could win the game.
Yeah.
And it could be no one wins the game. Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's a great idea. And you have it set. It's a certain turn amount of turns. So it's always this length of game, which makes it really easy. It could be an hour-long game, I guess, if you wanted to. Or whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do, like, 12 turns or something. Like, it's all hours of the night or something.
It's all happening in one night. That sounds nice.
It's got the doomsday clock.
That's a great idea. It's like the night of all knives or something.
That you're putting the wall on.
Just
maybe each player has to place it as well.
Each player gets a turn of being the authority. That's pretty rough. Maybe. I don't know.
In terms of the wall mechanic, not just having it marching in towards the center, because if you start on the sides versus starting in the center, that's a bit terrible. Where if it's like an ad hoc random Like, maybe the wall is already there, but the wall has known gaps in it, and the gaps randomly get filled.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, and I thought it would be interesting to have, like a Battle Royale funneling mechanic.
Yeah.
Because you want the action to be getting tighter and tighter and riskier and riskier. So at the start, you can go over wherever the fuck you are, that's fine. But the closer it gets to the end of the game, it's actually your window of time is shrinking and shrinking. And if you want to get people through, you got to do it now.
Completely.
Can players share hexes?
Yes.
Yeah.
They would need to. That's what you do to win the game.
You maybe cap it at 4 so that it's like a glut, and then you need to cooperate with other people to clear the glut.
Yeah, right.
Can we make this game slightly more topical?
And it's
on the
fucking
US. Trump. Yes, Trump war.
I don't know about making it exactly.
I guess
wrong.
So.
Maybe.
I guess so.
I don't know.
Yes, all those. All
it's
those
interesting that that feels less acceptable than
side.
Like,
I suppose.
Than something. Yeah right.
World War
something that's history and separated.
I wouldn't
us
necessarily
from
make it World War II either, because I don't think any exact historical setting is going to exactly fit to the game mechanics we want to have where you're setting up these walls.
Animal war.
That's right. Hence the anthropomorphized
animals.
No, that's
right.
The herbivores are trying to cramp down. Yeah.
Like the East and West Berlin thing, you just separated families and lovers and fucked everyone up.
Very
true.
Because they didn't have it. It wasn't their choice. It was Russia and America being like, well, hold on. No, I don't trust these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
The only thing I have against that is it's using like political turmoil to make and sell a game for recreational fun, and that it's sort of like might be trivializing something.
Yeah, well, imagine doing that
in
a game
in the past.
Well, that's
hey,
Jeff just noted it's like it really happened and it's significant.
Mm.
But
I think
talking about
the point is that I don't think we're necessarily wanting to like make and sell games. We're just wanting to have something cool.
Yeah. Hey, Berlin's a nicer one than Mexico.
Because it's all going up as print and play, and there might be like donations and stuff. But...
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Interesting element to add to it. Yeah, yeah.
People like... could reskin this for wherever they like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your wall between East and West Brisbane if you really want.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be nice.
The China Wall.
Yeah. I think, going back to our earlier discussion, I think instead of it being a random thing where the wall goes up, if it is the decision of a player, like the authority, where the wall goes up, but they have to put down a wall piece every turn, that opens up to a lot of social deception and negotiation and all that.
Rivalry.
Yeah, what I just meant is that each player in turn would decide where the wall goes.
Yeah, sure. That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, if you've got the social authority, like if you've got the authority as your player, you could even have them get switched over with another player if they perform low enough, so that player is suddenly able to decide with.
And everyone reshuffles their allegiance cards or something if it.
Someone else gets.
Maybe every time a pairing is made, you reshuffle the.
That's actually a really interesting idea, because it means that you don't want to be the authority because you're being forced to do all this shit, but you want to be the authority because that's the way that you can control the situation and be with the person that you love. And if you're ever demoted, someone else gets to make that power and you're suddenly powerless. That sounds really
interesting.
Because they might separate you from your love in the last turn of the game.
Yeah.
They might deport your love to West Berlin and you're stuck there.
Yeah, and that gives an opportunity actually for players that complete their goal to then replay as something or someone else. Or...
As a potential addition to or replacement for the authority figure building the wall is when you do cross that border, like I assume there's already some sort of border there, there's like a random chance that that particular way through gets closed off. So the more times you use a particular path, the more likely it's to be closed off. Because it's like, oh,
that person got through.
Yeah. Really, there's an issue there sort of thing. So you roll like a random chance die. And maybe the more it gets used, the more likely it is that will get closed. And maybe if it gets closed when you're going through, you don't make it at all.
For our authority person, what if they're not deciding? What if the wall goes up? But they're the ones that are checking people who are crossing between the wall.
Ah, so it's more overt.
So, but they can choose to...
And they look at who's going across and choose to stop them or...
Or let them through.
Maybe if you stop them, you move them back to the... far end or whatever.
So you could go through, in the early days, you could go through a bit of wall that's unpatrolled. But as the game starts to go, the authority gets really important in terms of he will either, or she, or they, my apologies, will either, will let whoever through.
Mm.
So they could look at the card of their lover and go, yeah, you belong in my side, that's fine.
Mm.
When it's all a ruse.
Mm.
Interesting dynamic.
Okay. Yeah. So.
So if there's more than if there's more than one person in that controlling group in terms of the border gate,
yeah.
You could call out the other border gate person and go, "I think you just let someone through."
The game's called Border Gate.
Border. What if one? Just as a quick aside, one thing I find interesting is we're trying to create sympathy for the border person, for the authority. It's
yeah,
really interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Like, and trying to let them be as much of an integral part of gameplay as all the others, and yet we focused a lot on how their mechanic works.
Still human.
I think it should be a matter of at the end of the game, you find out what happens. So it could be that you thought this person, this token, was your love that you needed to be with, and at the end of the game you're like, oh no, they were actually over here, and it's like a surprising moment, like at the end of a game of Werewolf or something like that. I think that's really interesting. And I think also the role of the authority figure, I think personally it shouldn't be that the authority figure is explicitly like, let's disconnect as many people as possible. I think it should be that they have some other goal in mind, and that will involve disconnecting people. I think that's a bit more.
They have targets they have to meet, and the targets that they have to meet happen to disadvantage.
Maybe they have to catch the unique characters.
Well, they might be after the spy, or they might be after, like, 'cause people. If you have like an objective for your profession, an objective for your love, an objective for your family.
Yeah.
Your objective for your family might deeply compete with your objective for your love, and you spend the whole time doing a Romeo and Juliet thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, because it shouldn't be a thing where if you're in the same space as this one other player, you win, because in that case maybe you just end up in that space at the start of the game and you do nothing else, right? But if it's a case where you need to be, you want to do as much as you can towards this kind of more, a goal that's more on a spectrum of lover, family, all this kind of thing, and you want to do as much of that stuff as you can, then okay, maybe you've started on the space with your lover, but your family's all over across the map. What are you going to do about that, and how can you solve that? You know, you need to think about it on yourself. And I don't know what that means for like win conditions necessarily, but
it's that interesting question of like, look, if we woke up tomorrow and it was apocalypse times, where would you go, what would you do,
what would you do exactly, like, and you need to,
would you go to your partner, or do you go to your family? Or
that's right.
Do you rescue your pet who's sitting somewhere?
Exactly. And it's ideally, it's as much of a grey, fuzzy question as possible, and not as much of a mechanical, oh, if I go with my family, I get plus 10 points.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it could be you've made it to West Berlin with your family, but your dog was a Russian spy.
Bringing it back to the dog.
There's got to be humour in there as well.
Look, this sounds like a great game. I'd play it. I think it sounds lovely.
Okay.
Do you want to go around the circle and a little opinion of what we think? Or
did we do that?
All right, I'm super keen. I think this sounds really interesting mechanically. That's what I'm all about. So, yeah.
Give us your thoughts on it, but also a concern.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So I think it sounds really interesting mechanically. However, I'm worried that the subject matter might be a bit grim.
True.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think that it has a surprising emotional element to it, which I really like in game design, of thinking this is light and then going, oh wow, actually I'm like really emotionally involved. In that too, I would be concerned about the game design preaching too much to people and trying to put too much of a message onto something or some certain things. So,
we call the game virtual signaling.
I think the idea of games that teach you something about yourself and the world around you is the current zeitgeist. I think that is where people are going. That's why adults play board games all the time now. That used to be designed for kids. They used to play board games, but they were generally more boring board games, right? If you look at the like less zany, less
Monopoly.
The flip side of that being that you see the most popular board games a lot of the time now are very gimmicky, because it gives you a zany protection against that. I'm not saying that's the case here.
Yeah.
I actually don't think that's as much of a concern, but I think that the actual danger with this game is in positioning it so that you're actually intriguing people on an emotional level without being too deep, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Yeah. I think I have a combination of both their opinions, but James and Cam's, in that, yeah, I really like the emotional depth that you can go with, and the fact that you have the potential to pursue different victory situations, and I love that in games. It's like, you know, I don't want to focus on this one thing. I wanna pursue the romance, or pursue my career, or pursue my family, or pursue, you know, find my lost dog. I love that. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I like the dog.
The part that, and this probably comes from my lack of expertise in the area, is the actual turning that into a game that makes sense and that you can actually play without being like, what are we doing? How do we play this? I have to do what? And how do I... The actual mechanics, I think, is the part that I'm tripping over. So
yeah.
I feel like that's more your area. But that's more my concern, in that it could, trying to do all of these different things, be clunky.
Good concern.
Yes, very true. We've talked about a lot about the core thematics and the core goals of the game and all that kind of thing. We haven't talked about specific mechanics as much, so I completely share your concern there about how the mechanics of it could be clunky. I think what I'm really excited and interested about this game idea is the core decisions in it, is those core decisions of, do you unite with your lover or with your family? And from the authority side of things, how much leeway do you give people? When you give people leeway, that personally affects you. How much are you going to do that? I think all of those core decisions are really interesting, and I think the ratcheting of intensity from that battle royale element we talked about, of like the map just slowly getting sectioned off and you just get less and less movement and things become more and more intense, sounds like a great arc for the game. I think that's really interesting. I'd love to see that, and I'd love to play this game. I guess the big concern of mine is how to express it in the mechanics. I think it could, I think the key thing is, I suppose, when you are trying to unite with other people, or when your movement is becoming severely limited as time goes on, is to make sure that is actually making things more intense instead of less intense, right? Like, if you unite with your lover one turn in, and now you get less and less and less movement options, that could easily make things less intense. You're like, oh, I've achieved my goal, and also, I can't do anything else. Why not just stay here, right? So it needs to make things more intense as the game goes on and reach this, like, fever pitch as the bombs are falling or whatever.
Sure.
That would be my key concern.
Sounds good. Yeah. And I guess overall, what we're really interested in as well is what everyone listening thinks too, because, you know, the more opinions and perspectives we can have on this, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Just a bunch of drunk guys making up a stupid game. But,
drop us in the comments. What have we missed?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
and be sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you boys for being here. This was really fun.
Yeah,
it was.
And yeah, I'm excited to play this game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you and good night.
Yes, thank you, Jack.
Drunk Game Design was brought to you by Half Monster Games. This week's episode was edited by me, Nicholas Wiggins. On today's episode, you heard the voices of Jack Ford Morgan, James Elliott, Cameron Cliff, Jack McNamee, and myself. If you want to give Last Days of Love, this month's game, a play, you can find a print and play copy available for free from halfmonstergames.com. If you'd like to contribute, star as a guest on our show, or just want more information, you can find us under Drunk Game Design on Facebook. Thanks for listening. I hope you've had fun. Have fun playing our game, and see you next time.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.